The next 4 years are important years for the Siuslaw School Board and the school district itself, coming off some post-pandemic interesting opportunities, we'll call it that for now, for education. The idea of autonomy for the school to some extent, new school buildings, or possibly remodel the old. Brian Locatour has been on the school board for several years now, and he wants to continue in that process. Brian, what do you see are some of the challenges that are facing, or some of the opportunities that are coming up over the next 4 years?
Man, that's a great question, and also kind of a loaded question. I guess the cliche answer would be, you know, the possibilities are endless. There really are a lot of opportunities, both for growth, but also to reaffirm or reestablish the foundations. I remember years ago, my junior year going into senior year, I went to a wrestling camp down in Arizona State. And Arizona State was, and I don't know why I'm telling this story all of a sudden, but I remember my wrestling coaches, and at that time, Arizona State Wrestling was a kind of a top-tier Division I wrestling program. And so we're killing ourselves in the room and running the stadium, but our coaches pointed out on the board that all of their, you know, national champion seeking wrestlers, the things they were drilling over and over and over were still the basics. It was the basic sprawl, the basic takedown, the basic pinning combination to really have and continue to maintain that solid foundation. And so some of those foundational things, of course, are the core curricula, math, science, history, language arts. When we went to school, it was just called English class, but, you know, language arts now. And so really to be able to focus on that foundation as that preparation, you know, when we look at the school board goals or the district goal of, I'm probably going to botch one of these words because I'm having to say it, but motivating and preparing all students to reach their greatest potential. I see that as a much more doable exercise or a much more attainable goal with a solid foundation that then as graduation approaches for the seniors, the juniors and seniors, and college life or technical trade life, if you have that solid foundation, I mean, just in my profession, being able to read a tape measure, I've hired grown men that don't know what all those little marks mean. And now, granted, there's not a high school class that says this is the half line, quarter line, things like that. But still, with a basic foundation, things like that can be learned a little more quickly.
When you hear and know about fractions, you see those marks, you can tell. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You know, and that will, of course, it's easy for me to see things through my worldview lens as a carpenter, and so I'll have a lot of those analogies in when I'm trying to understand and explain things. But really a foundation in the basics that can be built upon, if we build upon it. If you get too high without a foundation, you'll crumble and you'll cave under pressure, I guess is the better analogy in my head that I'm, you know, coming up with right now. But it is it's a challenge.
COVID did a lot to hurt what's going on.
Yes. It kinda robbed that foundation for a number, and my pause there was really, I just said I was looking through things through my carpenter lens. Well, I'm trying to detach or see things through, you know, those teachers and those administrator lenses of how do we make up for that? And I guess one thing that I would say is COVID's a thing that happened. COVID was aggravating. COVID was frustrating. COVID was scary. We can throw all sorts of adjectives in there. But one thing that I do personally believe, and I've chatted with many others and discussed with many others that kind of think the same, is I do believe we're in the position now where we can stop using COVID as a crutch. And really, instead of saying, well, how do we repair? Let's assess where we are right now and build from here on. Back to my carpenter lenses. Oftentimes when we're doing dry rot repair, me and my guys, we fall into this, well, why did this happen? What was done wrong that made this happen? Which that's a good exercise so that we don't do it the same way and it fails right. again. But at the same time, oftentimes that stalls us out and we're kind of staring at a project and not moving forward. Where when we just say we need to get rid of the rot, we need to get rid of what's failed and replace it and do the thing. We need to do the thing is what we is, you know, that kind of gets us over that stall. And that gets us into, okay, well, we've done siding before. We've installed windows before. Instead of trying to figure out why this was not done right, let's just do it right. And I know that doesn't have a 100% carryover into what we're talking with the –
But there is a point where you got to say, okay, you know, we can't blame or use COVID, like you said, as a crutch.
Yeah.
But you can figure out what happened during that time, what failed the kids during that time, and not allow that to be – continuing forward.
Sure.
Forward.
And what's interesting, real quick on that crutch analogy, is my daughter Jane broke her leg when she was tiny. And so we still have this little set of crutches around the house. And inevitably, if those come out, a little kid will grab them and lean on them. Hmm. And they'll use them without the need, but they just, if the crutch is there, it'll be used.
Gotcha.
And that was very interesting to me to see little kids.
Yeah.
And of course they don't do it indefinitely, but just right away it's here's a crutch, I'm going to lean on it.
So since we've been talking with the whole carpenter analogy one of the things for students is to have a comfortable environment with which to learn. And there's been things said about the condition of the building, whether it would need something new or not. I'm sure you've probably looked at it at some point to say, you know, we tried to get a levy to build it. I think people thought it was too much money. What do you see as the necessities for a good learning environment in a facilities style coming up?
You know, that one also for me is kind of loaded. You know, I'll admit flat out, I voted against those levies because I did think that it was too much money. So I do recognize that there's a need. I do appreciate kind of out of the box, well, not out of the box, but. I do appreciate entertaining other solutions. You know, the portable classrooms and the new office. Well, not portable, but the pre-manufactured, able to happen in a timely manner. Classrooms that I see that as a good thing. There are a number of the facilities that do need renovation work, and I don't know about all of the grant opportunities to fix that or the, you know, I don't know the funding background of all of that. I do recognize the need. I must say I'm not completely on board with let's build an entire brand new school because of the cost of it and the overwhelming, well, not overwhelming, but the what that will mean. To the taxpayer base, yeah, that's a good word that I you saw my brain searching for that word.
Yeah, the burden on the taxpayer would be enormous at that point.
Yeah, and but also this is one of those struggles is when I see that there's valid ideas and valid arguments and valid points on both sides. Well, then that means that scale is just level, and which way is it really going to? Is it really going to tip? So that one, I don't have a definitive answer, you know. But I'm.
You're willing to look into it.
Willing to look into
whatever.
It. Willing to listen to the validity on the both sides and yes, have the proper facilities that the students can be taught that foundation that will lead to their success in life as employees as fathers, as spouses, as potential business owners, and we can't rob them of that. And so if a facility need is prescient to that, then we need to do it.
All right, lastly, because we're about out of time here, one of the things that most of the candidates that have been running have said, in fact, I think they've all said it, no matter who they were, that they don't believe that families have had enough input to the board. They haven't had enough access to the board. You've been on the board several years now. How do you feel about that? And do you think there needs to be more, or is it good?
I do agree with that. That was one of my initial pushes to run. I ran for the school board, and Maureen beat me, attagirl Maureen. But a few months later, really out of respect from all of the votes that I did get and the support that I did get from the community, I put in my hat for an appointed position for one of the vacancies. And really it was because I was hearing from other parents. We had some concerns. I guess my vernacular, I'd say we had some gripes. But I didn't feel comfortable griping without acting, without trying to act, without trying to help. Because then all you're doing is, in my view, you're just exasperating a problem if you're not willing to actually do something about it. And so I have had many parents express their gratitude for me stepping up, as well, I'm sure the other board members have as well, because it is a struggle, that idea of stepping out of our own echo chamber to listen to multiple sides. And notice I said multiple, not just two, because there's right. multiple sides to every issue, and then really trying to figure out, hey, what's the best call here? What's the best call here? Not to appease a parent that may be a little upset, but really to the benefit of the students that are waking up every morning, going to class, spending their day with an outlook, and hopefully a hopeful outlook to the future. That's been tough. That's been tough for me. I consider myself a pretty black and white guy, but really reading and listening, and it takes some time.
Brian LaCouture is running for the Siuslaw School Board. And Brian, thanks for coming in.
Sure thing.
Appreciate your time.
Appreciate it.
Vote May 16th.
There you go. May 16th.